First Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians, the ninth chapter. In the last few verses of that chapter, let's say verse 24, Paul says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." You know, it's interesting to me how fond the Apostle Paul must have been of athletic events. He uses athletic images often in his writings, and I'm sure the Corinthians that he's writing to were familiar with not only the Olympic Games, because Athens was not very far from Corinth. I've been there, and not very far, but also they had their own local brand of games, the Isthmian Games. And so he uses this metaphor that is really close to their own experience, but he uses this to represent the Christian life. The Christian life is like a race. But wait a minute. Remember the writer of Hebrews. It could have been Paul, too, that wrote the book. I'm not sure about that. I lean in that direction, but that's neither here nor there. The thing of it is that the writer of Hebrews says that we are running a race. And he says that we need to run that race with patience or endurance. And that as we do so, we need to let go of any weight, anything that would hinder our running progress. And he says, at the same time, we should be looking to Jesus. We should be depending upon him in this race. So the Christian life in the Bible is sometimes likened to a race. But listen to me. There are different kinds of races. I liked when I raced to run sprints where you could just take off and go as fast as you could for just a short distance and then it was all over. I did not like long races. I did not like cross-country track. I never wanted to participate in a marathon. But can I say this? The Christian life is likened to a race, but it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's a long distance race. The Christian life is not something that we run in order to get to heaven. But as in Greece, only Greek citizens could participate in the Olympics, in the games. Only believers are qualified to run this spiritual race. You got to be a believer before you can even enter the spiritual. You got to be a citizen of heaven already. But we are to be focused not merely on running the race, but if you looked with me when we read that 24th verse a moment ago, we are to run to win. You know, I don't know about you, but when I do something, I am naturally a very competitive person. When I do it, I want to be the best at it. I want to win. I remember in the athletic events that I ever participated in when I was a kid or a younger person, a younger man, I never entered to lose. Do people enter athletic events to lose? In the Christian life, you want to win. You want to run this race to win. That's what he's saying in that 24th verse. You know, at times I look around and it seems as if some believers aren't even trying. That they're hardly trying. that they're not putting forth any real effort. They're not willing to sacrifice in this race. They're not focused on this race that the Christian life is all about. And I think, and I say, well, why even get into it? Why even enter a race if you don't want to win it? I mean, in the real, in a physical race, you wouldn't enter it unless you wanted to try to win it. Why would a Christian not want to win? Why would a Christian not want to live a Christian life that is a winning life, that is a victorious life? Well, this chapter, chapter 9, reveals how a believer can run the race of the Christian life and be victorious. How a Christian can be a winner. How to run to win. I just want to share several things from this chapter as briefly as I can that answer that question. How do you run to win? Let's pray first. Our Heavenly Father, just so thankful that we have your word. And Lord, I thank you that you live in us, your spirit. And so the race that we are called to run spiritually as believers, it's not just us putting forth the effort. It's not I, but Christ that runs that race in me and through me. And that means I can be a winner. I can be victorious. And I just ask that you will cause the truths that we're going to think about for the next few minutes to just trickle deep down into our heart, that we might be able to ponder them, not only now, but in days ahead. Keep them in mind, how to run to win in Jesus' name. That is for his glory. Amen. In the first 18 verses, you know what Paul does? Listen to how he begins this. He's defending his apostleship, but he's talking about his rights as an apostle and as a believer. He says in the fourth verse, have we not power to eat and drink? Verse 5, have we not power or the right to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? Verse 6, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth to warfare anytime at his own charges or expenses? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Dropping down a little further, he says, verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity. The call of God is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And then he says in verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. In the first 18 verses, you have the first truth that answers the question, how to run to win, how to live the Christian life victoriously, a winning life. You know what you can boil that all down to say? It's all about denying of self. It's the denying of self. That is a critical step in the life and follower of Jesus, denying yourself. You know, sometimes I when I put together messages that I know the Lord's given me, I say, Lord, I can't talk about that again. I'm always talking. And the Lord just reminds me, why do you think it's so many times in my word? Why do you think I keep bringing it up by this writer and that writer? Because this is the key to life. The denying of self. You cannot live the Christian life as a winner victoriously without understanding and practicing the denying of self It's a critical step. And the foundation of that, the basis of that, is Paul had one goal in life. And you know what that was? He wanted to please the Lord. What's your goal in life? If your goal in life, if your one goal in life is to please the Lord, then denying yourself is a given. Then denying yourself, it just falls into place. To please Christ, to do so, you have to be willing to pay any price. If you want to please the Lord bad enough, you have to be willing to pay any price to do so. You have to be willing to give up your own personal, but that's my right. You have to be willing to give up some of your personal rights. You have to learn to live in self-denial. This is a biggie when it comes to running to win. If you're going to run to win, there has to be the denying of self. What does it mean to deny yourself? It's simply choosing to give up something that you want or even need. Choosing to give up your plans, your agenda, your ambitions, your desires, even your relationships, in order to follow and do the will of God. It's putting off your personal gratification for eternal fulfillment. That's the definition. The foundation, please God. The definition, making that choice. And then he gives us in this chapter, we've read several of the verses already, an illustration of what it means to deny yourself. Some of the personal rights that Paul sacrificed and denied himself so that he could more effectively serve the Lord, one of which was financial support. In verse 4, have we not power to eat and drink? That is, don't we have the right to expect the people that we minister to provide us the food that we eat? And then down in verse 6, don't we have the power to forbear working? In other words, I don't have to be bivocational. I could expect the people in the church to supply my needs. Same chapter as you go down, he talks about how that a farmer, he plants a vineyard, he eats the grapes. A farmer, he raises a flock, he drinks the milk of the flock. Verse 10. 9 and 10, he said, the law of Moses says you don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the grain, the corn. God takes care of the oxen that way. And then he says in verse 10, he that ploweth should plow in hope. He that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. What's he talking about? He's talking about financial support. He's talking about the physical needs of the preacher of the gospel being met by the people that he preaches to, that he, his flock, you might say. So support is one area, but Paul gave that up, okay? In the situation that he was in, it would make his ministry more effective if he did not take what was rightfully his biblically, and that is support. In verse 5, he says, have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as others, as Peter and James, brother of the Lord? He also chose not to be married so that he could more effectively carry out the ministry that God called him to. He surrendered that right. He surrendered rights to God because he was super burdened to minister the gospel. And he recognized that giving up those specific rights in his life in that situation was more beneficial in accomplishing the goal of evangelism. And that's what he's talking about in verses 16 to 18. I'm not already read some of those. I'm not going to go through it again. But that's illustration, what it means, denying of self. Now let's make some application to us. Is there any personal right that you've realized is better to be surrendered to the Lord rather than to demand it, in order to build a platform to minister the Word of God or the gospel and reach others for Christ? Is there anything, any personal right that you've surrendered to the Lord to be a more effective believer? If so, name one. Name one. Anyone name one? Maybe you didn't do it, but name one.
Move to New York.
Okay, move to New York. Yeah, all the way from the hills of Tennessee, right? Move to New York. Yeah. I could think of I hate to do a personal application, but here's the thing. When I took that four mornings a week job, I determined that I was going to go into that job and I was going to excel at work so that people would understand that I'm above and beyond the call of duty, so to speak. So that people would not pat me on the back, but that it would build a bridge for me to witness to people, because they would see a testimony. And it has done that. It has offered me opportunities to witness, that if I was not an exemplar, you might say, of at work, I would never have that opportunity. And that's the only reason I do it, is because I want to reflect well on my Lord. I want to please Him. And so just an application of, I could sit at the table where the other guys sit and just, you know, look at my phone or do whatever they do while work's being done in the kitchen. But I go in the kitchen, I help the kitchen help, even though I'm a driver. I go in the kitchen and help the kitchen help, and the other guys sit there. But I go in there and help, and I built a bridge to both the drivers and the kitchen as a result of that, see. And so, just an example, I have a right to sit at the table, but I don't. It's denying of self. I do it to please the Lord, not to have people think I'm great. Here's a second truth. If you're going to run a race, you enter it to win. And if you're going to live the Christian life, you want to run to win. It's a race. Not only does it require the denying of self, but in verses 19 to 21, I'm going to read these verses and then you tell me what you think the next point is. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant, literally a slave unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Another word for Jews. Verse 21, to them that are without the law, Gentiles, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. What do you think the second point is for running to win? Not only the denying of self, but it is, secondly, the deferring to others. Deferring to others is what he's talking. There are two main aspects of these verses of how Paul says he deferred to others. First of all, in verse 19, he was a servant to others. He showed loving respect by willingly becoming their slave in order to win them to Christ. It's like Jesus who said, I have not come to be ministered unto, but I've come to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. It reminds me of two Moravian missionaries back in the 1700s when revival broke out at Herrnhut in Germany, and the modern missionary movement was launched from that place in Germany. And two particular young men were called to minister to the Africans that had been enslaved in the Caribbean. And you know what these young men did? They got on a ship, on a slave ship, and they went to the Caribbean, and they literally sold themselves as slaves in order to win the slave population on that island. They themselves became slaves so that they could reach the slaves. This is the ultimate of deferring to others. It's being a servant. But not only that, in verses 20 to 23, if we would read on, he says in verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. And I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker with you. Here's the second aspect of deferring to others. Not only a servant, but a participant. See that? Paul basically is saying, in other words, I've developed a cross-cultural appreciation, and I am adopting to all aspects of other cultures and participating. I'm a participant in their culture, except in unless it's pagan or it's biblically wrong. I participate in their culture in order to build bridges for the gospel, to reach people from different people groups with different customs than mine. This is how we do it, as a servant and as a participant. All we do, we condemn in any culture what's sinful, but we participate in culture in order to win people to the Lord. I can think of a main example. Hudson Taylor, when he went in the 1800s to inland China, he grew that long braided ponytail to look like the Chinese. He dressed like the Chinese, and he was criticized by other missionaries for looking like a Chinese. But look at what God did through Hudson Taylor's ministry there in China. He was simply doing what Paul said he did. And so what we have here is, if you want to run to win, you not only are in the business of denying of self, but deferring to others. Can you think of some examples that you could adapt and adopt in order to win people? Give me a couple examples. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You wait till the glory of God, right?
Bridge, as you said.
Yeah, good. Food is a wonderful way. Different cultures have different foods. And if you go to a mission field and you eat whatever is served, or you offend them. And so food is one way. What's another way?
Showing that you're comfortable with them.
Yeah.
You know, thinking that you're not different with
sure.
them.
Sure.
You know, just speaking to them.
Yep. And how about, you know, dressing like them? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Dressing like them. It again, as long as whatever it is in the culture is not biblically wrong, then participate. Be a participant. Celebrate with them when there are celebrations, whatever. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You can, you don't have to be fluent, but it thrills people if you can speak their language, even a sentence. Yeah. You ready for the third and the final thing? To run, to win. There has to be that denying of self, that deferring to others. But in verses 24 to 27, the last four verses of this chapter, basically what he is saying is he's running for the prize. Guess what the prize is? It's not a thing, it's a person. So desiring only Christ. If you run to win, there has to be a desiring only Christ, living in obedience to Jesus, to desire to know Christ and to make him known to others. And that's why we sang tonight, for the sake of his name. For Jesus' sake, you let him control your desires. Instead of doing what you want to do, you do what he wants you to do. And there's a purpose. If you are desiring only Christ, then you live a purposeful life. You have a purpose in life. And that's what verses 24 to 26 are all about. It's running a race. It's running to win that race. And in order to win it, you have to be under his control. You have to live a purposeful life. You have to have a focused Christian life. You're not living or serving the Lord haphazardly, but you have that goal in view, the eternal glory of the Lord in view, the biggest purpose imaginable, that there's a crown to be won and you run to win. It's not that you're living the life, running the race for personal gain, but to be pleasing to Jesus and one day take that crown that has been won and in an act of ultimate worship and honor, place it at his feet. The desiring only of Christ. That's the purpose, but it's the plan. Look at verse 27. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Basically, here's the plan. You want to run to win, here's the plan. You refuse to let your bodily desires control you. You tell your body what to do instead of letting your body tell you what to do. You tell your body when you're going to eat and not let your body tell you when you're going to eat. That's basically what he's saying here. All your desires are under, and that requires the Lord. That requires the control of God. That requires God's strength. That requires the Spirit of the Lord to bring your body under the Holy Spirit's control, because otherwise, you know what? You'll end up living for yourself and for what you want. And you will disqualify yourself as a result. You'll disqualify your Christian life and your service. That's what it means to be a castaway. It means in God's eyes, you disqualify yourself. You get disqualified from a race. If you are running a race, you got to stay in your lane. If you go out of your lane, you disqualified yourself. Even if you came in first, if you stepped out of the lane, you're disqualified. You got to run by the rules, so to speak. And here's the plan. You keep your body under, and that requires the spirit control of the Lord. If you don't, at the end of it all, you'll have nothing to show for your life on this earth. You'll stand before God to be rewarded for personal sacrifice. And the personal sacrifice that you undertook to know him and to make him known. Can you list some areas in which your body has to be denied in order to know Christ and share him with others? Can you think of some ways in which you need to deny your body, not let your body control you? Your emotions, yeah. Your body will fear, won't it? It will cause you to fear. Or what's another way in which we need to control our body through the Spirit's enablement and not let our body control us. Okay, don't waste the time. How about sleep? Sometimes you got to miss sleep in order to do the will of God. Fasting, not eating, because God's burdened your heart to pray and seek His face.
The tongue,
yeah, that's got to be bridled. So sleep, food, tongue, time, all of that, all of the above, right? Activities. You know, there's legitimate activities that at times we have to say no to because God wants us to do something more important, something more focused for Him.
Our idols.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there is an old Puritan. I don't follow Puritan writers, okay? Just make that statement. But there was an old Puritan by the name of Richard Baxter. And he wrote something, and I updated it in today's language. So let me, here it goes. It's a sad thing to see how most people spend their time and energy on worthless things, while God's on their back burner. He who is all is treated as nothing. And what's really nothing is treated as great. It's sad to know God's put us in a race with such far-reaching consequences, and we are sitting down and loitering. We're running after childish toys of this world. We are forgetting the prize that we should be running to win. If we could see this as God does, and see what most people are interested in wasting time doing every day, it would be truly sad. We ought to be amazed at such insanity and be sorry over such delusion. If God had never told us what we were sent into the world to do and what awaits us in the next world, then there would have been some excuse. But it's clear. It's clearly stated in the Word of God that we profess to believe. So let's determine that by dependence upon God's grace, we're going to run to win.